Welcome to the Georgia Today podcast. Here, we feature the latest reports from the GPB News team. On today's episode, Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene considers but does not commit to a run for U.S. Senate. A law designed to recruit teachers doesn't pan out. And the new chair of the Democratic Party in Georgia says health care will be a fundamental issue for his party going forward.
That's a choice the Republican leadership has made in this state to not honor and care about everyday Georgians and what they deal with and the fact that they might have to drive 2 hours to get to an emergency room.
Today is Wednesday, May 7th. I'm Peter Biello, and this is Georgia Today. Now that Governor Brian Kemp has decided not to run for U.S. Senate, potential candidates are weighing their options. GPB's Sarah Callis spoke with one of them, Rome Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene, last night. The conservative firebrand remained noncommittal.
We're really wishing Governor Kemp well and his future endeavors. He's still our governor, and he's done a great job as our governor. And of course, that's just a choice that I have to make.
Some Republicans are worried about a potential Green bid, believing she'd do well in a GOP primary but not in a general election. Other possible candidates include Congressman Buddy Carter, Mike Collins, and Rich McCormick. Incumbent Democratic U.S. Senator John Ossoff is running for re-election. The Democratic Party of Georgia has a new leader, Charlie Bailey, a former candidate for attorney general and lieutenant governor. Elected with 53% of the vote, Bailey aims to unite the moderate and progressive wings of a party that has not held the majority in the Georgia legislature or the governor's office in more than two decades. Charlie Bailey is with me now to talk about the party's path forward. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Peter.
You're planning on trying to unite progressives and moderates in the party. So tell me a little bit about that. How do you plan on going about that?
We're going to do what I think it's foundational to the Democratic Party, which is talk about the issues. You know, the vast majority of people wake up every day and they think about, is my kid safe? How are they doing in school? If I get a hospital bill, can I pay it? And all of those things have, you know, increasing level of anxiety for the people of Georgia because of the Republican leadership of the last 22 years. And at the heart of the Democratic Party is we fight for and protect the dignity of every person and the ability for them to achieve the American dream. And in this state, that's been made harder by Republican leadership. That's how we're going to unite not just Democrats, but independents and others behind a party that is working to get things done for people and not just line the pockets of billionaires and big corporations.
You mentioned healthcare, so let me ask you about Medicaid expansion, because that's one thing you've criticized Republicans for preventing the expansion of Medicaid here in Georgia. How do you plan on accomplishing the expansion of Medicaid as Democrats? Is it simply a numbers game for you, electing as many Democrats as possible, or is there another strategy you'd like to try?
Well, we're going to have to get more Democrats in the General Assembly, because so far, not a sufficient number of Republicans have exhibited the courage to do the right thing for the people of Georgia. You know, Peter, you know this. Over the last 12 years, 12 hospitals have closed in our state. And of the 30 rural hospitals that are open today, 18 are at risk of closure. And that is because of a choice. That's a choice that Republican leadership has made in this state to not honor and care about everyday Georgians and what they deal with and the fact that they might have to drive 2 hours to get to an emergency room. That's a public policy choice. So we're going to have to elect more Democrats.
You've run two campaigns of your own in Georgia. You've lost both of them. But what lessons have you learned about what it takes for Democrats to win in Georgia based on your personal experience?
And I will just note, I got 49% in 2018 against an incumbent.
So you came close.
Chris Farr didn't want to give me 49% of the office. So, you know, but came close. And in 2022, I had the smallest margin of any Democrat not named Raphael Warnock. I say that to say I understand how to cut into margins.
Well, tell me a little bit about how you can cut into those margins. Like, what is the thing you need to do?
It's along the lines of what we've been talking about. You have to draw a clear contrast, and we are going to draw clear contrast with what our priorities are and what the Republicans have done with the power that they have.
Let me ask you about housing, because housing costs are rising across the country, including here in Georgia. Some have accused leaders of blue cities elsewhere in the country of making it too hard to build new housing, whether it's, you know, restrictions or laws or environmental, what have you. They're accused of this. I'm wondering if you see this happening in Georgia, and if so, what do you think Democrats should do in Georgia going forward to make it easier to build more housing and perhaps lower the cost of it?
I think sometimes politicians, and some Democrats included in this, get in their own way. They forget that setting up barriers and not making government work is an anathema to, again, the whole point. And so we've got to make sure that, yes, we need to have environmental regulations. Obviously, we need to make sure things are built safely and according to the kind of parameters where you want to have safe and healthy communities. But the NIMBYism that goes on, and we're not immune to it, that's not about protecting people's rights, safety, or health. That's about trying to design what you want a particular neighborhood to be like and that kind of thing. We have got to be the party of expanding those kinds of opportunities and making it easier to build housing, which includes multifamily housing and condos and that kind of thing. And as you got greater density, you got to have that kind of housing, so that we cannot be a state where we've got an increased number of people living in their cars. That requires public policy decisions to be different than they've been.
Oh, Charlie Bailey, new leader of Georgia's Democratic Party, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Peter.
And Charlie Bailey and I also spoke about workers, young voters, and the desire to see more of a fight from Democrats in Georgia. And you can find a full video of our conversation at gpb.org/news. An inaugural report from Emory University School of Public Health aims to understand the challenges facing today's kids. GPB's Sophie Gratis has more.
Nearly 1,000 parents were surveyed this year for the State of Child Health and Well-Being Report across counties and demographics, says researcher Stephen Patrick.
And we asked parents to rank issues that they were worried about.
Across the board, education and school quality was a top concern. But responses varied. White parents had social media use up top, while Hispanic and Black parents were most worried about gun violence. There were some other divides, like in healthcare use and across rural and urban lines. Patrick said the data is a starting point.
And I think what this is a call to action for all of us.
And there were through lines in the survey. Only 23% of parents felt confident in school safety, and 91% said they support free or reduced lunch at school. For GPB News, I'm Sophie Gratis.
A 2022 state law aimed at recruiting teachers out of retirement had minimal effect on Georgia's continuing teacher shortage. That's according to a report published on Monday by the State Department of Audits and Accounts. House Bill 385 allowed retired teachers with 30 years of service to return to the classroom with full pay and pension, provided they sat on the sidelines for 1 year. The report counted 350 full-time retirees employed, a number substantially smaller than the 6,000 positions it reports as vacant or not fully certified. It says the law's requirements are more restrictive than similar laws in other states. Georgia lawmakers are expected to revisit the initiative before the law expires next summer. U.S. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says federal disaster relief for Georgia farmers hit hard by Hurricane Helene should begin flowing within weeks. Congress approved a $21 billion aid package in December, but that money has been slow in coming. Pressed on the issue yesterday by Georgia U.S. Senator John Ossoff, Rollins said a separate $10 billion emergency commodity assistance program provides an example of how fast her agency can move.
We on March 17th announced it. On March 20th, funds were moving out and into farmers'
bank
accounts.
When will the portal be open for the disaster?
By the end of the month.
Georgia farmers are facing billions of dollars in losses from the storm. Governor Brian Kemp is expected to sign a state-level relief package tomorrow. A Northeast Georgia community is up in arms about the potential for a new poultry processing plant in town. Food giant Pilgrim's Pride said last week that it would not build a chicken rendering facility in Franklin Springs and would explore locations elsewhere in Georgia. But the city's mayor has vowed to push ahead with a wastewater treatment facility to entice another poultry company. That worries nearby resident Donna Bennett.
I have a grandbaby that was born premature, and we have to be really careful with his lungs. Like, he can't get lung infections or whatever. I don't think I'd be able to take him outside to play in my yard if that was going on. And this is a half a mile from a state park, a half a mile from a golf course, a quarter mile from Emmanuel University.
Northeast Georgia is a hot spot for the state's $6 billion poultry industry, but environmental groups have voiced concerns about its effects on air and water. The dust-up over the now-scuttled Pilgrim's Pride facility has put pressure on Franklin County officials to rescind its wastewater agreement with Franklin Springs. Atlanta is gearing up to host the FIFA World Cup next year, and the city of Decatur is making its own plans for soccer fans to watch the games. GPB's Amanda Andrews has more.
Decatur Watch Fest will take place in Decatur Square, broadcasting all 104 World Cup games and offering food, drinks, and music for soccer fans. Mayor Patty Garrett says the best part is the 34 days of festivities are all on top of the Decatur MARTA train station.
You can be at the official FIFA Fan Fest and matches in downtown Atlanta in less than 15 minutes. You can't drive that fast, let me just tell you.
MARTA will be running additional trains to and from downtown Atlanta after all 8 local matches. The World Cup games will begin on June 11th, 2026. For GPB News, I'm Amanda Andrews.
That is it for Georgia Today. We do appreciate you tuning in. And remember, you can find all the latest headlines anytime at gpb.org/news. More news will be coming your way tomorrow, and you won't want to miss any of it, so make sure you subscribe to this podcast and send us your feedback if you have any. The best way to reach us is by email. That email address is georgiatoday@gpb.org. I'm Peter Biello. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.